many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
This is Dr. Rob Stahl, and welcome to What Should You Expect at Your Age? I decided to put together this program as an experiment to see whether radio could be an effective way to present important and practical information about geriatric health, and maybe even help a few listeners. Topics to be covered in this program include key medical issues of aging, how medications can be used, misused, and abused, the importance of treating disease and dis-ease, the subtlety and destructiveness of ageism, prejudice toward older people, the meaning of sudden or chronic health changes, the cardinal goals of maximizing quality of life and functional ability, the significance of maintaining hope, there is always something that can help, and what older adults and caregivers should expect with aging. I would like to start with a short story I often tell to my patients. A patient once came to me who was about to turn 100 years old. She had pain in her right knee. I asked her what she thought was wrong. "What do you expect at my age?" she demanded. "How is your left knee?" "Just fine, thank you," she replied. "Then why doesn't your left knee hurt? Isn't it the same age as your right?" Her face brightened and understood what I meant. "Think about it, I do. It reminds me there is always something that could be done to help, even in extreme old age." I have put together a list of what I feel people should expect as they age. You should expect to be listened to, valued, and respected. You should expect knowledgeable and compassionate health care. You should expect to be as pain-free as possible and to be given medications that will only make you feel better, not worse. You should expect never to be abandoned or forgotten. You should expect not to live a life of loneliness or depression. You should expect never to be the object of prejudice or abuse. You should expect to get the help you need to live life to the fullest. You should expect to live up to your potential and have hope for the future. And lastly, you should expect never to be taken advantage of, except for your talents, knowledge, and wisdom. I have three guests for today's program. My first guest, Miss Dorothy Eshelman, is a patient of mine who lives at the Beechwood residence. It's a grand old flag.
Thank you. Two bells at the same time? So you have seven bells on the lower, the carillon, or what do you call the lower portion?
Well, that's the octave. Fourth octave is right.
Each is an octave?
From here to here.
Okay.
East up to here is one octave.
Okay, so you have...
And from there up to there is another octave.
I see. Those are the sharps.
The black notes.
Those are the black notes. Okay, so you have the seven white keys on the lower portion.
Yeah.
Each bell is about 3 inches diameter, 3 to 4 inches diameter.
I don't know. I don't know.
Thereabouts. And they hang from leather straps. And So there's seven on the bottom. Then the next row up, there are five, which represent the black keys
in
that octave. And then there are...
The whole octave.
The whole octive.
There's
eight on the next, and then the black ones further up, five more.
Mm-hmm.
Now the pedals, there's two pedals. What do the pedals do?
They stop it.
Oh, they stop the ringing. Okay, and the other, so one stops the ringing on the first octave, and the other stops it on the upper octave. That's fascinating. Those are beautiful. Let's see, one more tune for the road. How about, oh boy. Baseball's my favorite. You must have read my mind. That's terrific. Well, maybe next time we'll catch you playing some piano. How's that sound?
Okay.
That sounds great. So this has been Miss Dorothy Eshelman, my friend, my patient, and a wonderful musician. Now, I didn't want to ask, but you wanted to tell me how old you were.
I am 96. I will be 97 in 2 months.
God bless you. Keep up the good work.
I shall try.
We're going to take a short break now. Be right back.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. Was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not.
Explain when I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same, same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
Slowly, you're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy.
All the time that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew. It's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree. But it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that
At a recent windy day at the baseball field, I spoke to a fellow dad about whether he had thought about advanced directives. What do you think about old people, Ralph?
I'll probably be one myself one day.
You know, I think you probably will. At least I think you hope you probably will. If your life is worth living at that point.
Yeah, as long as I'm capable.
So what would you want if you couldn't recognize anyone and, let's say, had a stroke and you couldn't eat for yourself? What would you want?
Pull the plug.
Pull the plug?
Pull the plug.
Okay. Do you have a healthcare proxy in place?
No, I
don't. I'll do that Monday.
That's a good idea. Because as you know, or as you may or may not know, New York State requires us doctors to look to people that don't have their wishes right now. Or if there's someone that can attest to you that that's exactly what you would want. So if you want, I'll give you a copy of that healthcare proxy form.
That'd be great. Fax it to me so I remember where my fax machine is.
All right, good talking to you. Have a good day. My discussion with fellow baseball dad, Rob, brought up important questions about advanced directives. What you would want regarding your health if you were no longer able to make decisions for yourself. The most important of these is having a healthcare proxy in place. A healthcare proxy is that person you choose to make decisions for you if you are no longer able to make them for yourself. Usually, this is a spouse, a trusted son or daughter, or a close friend. The person acting as your healthcare proxy needs to remember that it is not what they would do under a specific circumstance, but it is their knowledge of what you would have wanted under the current health situation. A simple power of attorney usually relates to financial matters alone. A healthcare power of attorney is similar to having a designated healthcare proxy. There is a simple form that can be completed in which you designate who you wish to act on your behalf and also allows you to include specific instructions as to what you would want under different health circumstances. For example, if your heart suddenly stopped, would you want to have CPR? Or if you couldn't breathe for yourself, would you want to be put on a ventilator? Another common decision people make ahead of time is whether or not they would ever want to have a feeding tube if they were no longer able to eat for themselves. I am very pleased to present esteemed local actor Mr. Saul Elkin with Shakespeare's The Seven Ages of Man. Well, what brought us here, thank you so much for responding in the affirmative.
It's my pleasure.
To have a reading of Shakespeare's The Seven Ages of Man from As You Like It.
Sure.
I'll put it in front of you and let you go and do your thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Very quietly, no acting, you know.
That's fine. I'm sure your voice commands more attention than my voice would in the reading. And then I have two other selections that I'd like you to briefly read through.
Sure.
And see if you might be interested in reading those for the radio audience.
Okay.
As well.
Sure.
Those are surprises.
Okay.
Let me give you As You Like It.
Okay.
And The Seven Ages of Man.
Okay. So The Seven Ages of Man from As You Like It. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man at his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. At first, the infant mewling and puking in the nurse's arms. And then the whining schoolboy with his satchel and shining morning face creeping like snail unwillingly to school. And then the lover sighing like furnace with a woeful ballad made to his mistress' eyebrow. Then a soldier full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard, jealous in honor, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation even in the cannon's mouth. And then the justice, in fair round belly, with good cape unlined, with eyes severe and beard of formal cut, full of wise saws and modern instances. And so he plays his part. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon, with spectacles on nose and pouch on side, his youthful hose well saved, the world too wide for his shrunk shank, and his big manly voice turning again toward childish treble, pipes and whistles in his sound. Last scene of all that ends this strange, eventful history his second childishness, and mere oblivion. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything.
It's beautiful.
It is a beautiful speech. Yeah.
Thank you.
It comes also at an interesting moment in a romantic comedy with some men sitting around a fire in a forest somewhere, and Jaques, who speaks it, I think it's just something Shakespeare wanted to say, because it's not necessarily relevant to the play. It's a little sidebar to the play. It was just Shakespeare talking to his audience about this subject of aging, our lives, and how our lives change as we go through.
I think everyone thinks about what's past and what's to come.
Absolutely.
And, it's interesting that it was a sidebar, it seems, to the...
Yeah,
that,
it's not a play about old age. It's not even so much a play about the character who speaks this speech. And Shakespeare's plays are full of moments like this, where suddenly a character will sort of step out of the action to say something probably that the playwright wanted to say.
This thought process of his own must have affected him profoundly.
Yeah.
And he felt obligated to say it.
I guess
now,
so.
What do you think about how he characterizes the sixth and seventh stages compared to older people today?
Well, I think he does describe... A sort of physical condition that does, you know, into which people evolve, some people evolve. Although, you know, we see older people who are robust and active, and I'm sure you do in your practice as well.
Certainly.
For a long time. I lived in Vermont for a while before I moved to Buffalo and had a 90-year-old neighbor, a woman who lived alone and mowed her lawn and shopped and drove a car. That's rare, I guess.
Well, not that rare.
Yeah.
It's more and more common. I think modern medicine certainly has had a lot to do with it, and prevention.
Right.
Antibiotics, that's been the main key to prolonging life. But Shakespeare mentioning without teeth.
Yeah.
We have modern dentistry.
Absolutely.
We have dentures that people have lost their teeth.
Yeah. Actually, I think this whole issue of prevention, we catch things early. I mean, I'm a survivor of prostate cancer, because it was caught early. It's been 5 years and I'm fine. And because we're so good at prevention now, for people who sort of take care and watch and get the physical exams and so on, but who also listen to their own and watch their own symptoms.
Well, that's key. Watching yourself, especially changes, any change that you notice from one day to the next, perhaps how you're different now compared to a month ago, or even a year ago, and how your family perceives the change.
Sure.
A change over a long-term basis could be Alzheimer's disease developing, but it could be a metabolic, a reversible medical problem that could be treated.
Yeah. My experience with my mother, who died when she was in her late 80s, and now with my mother-in-law, who's 90 and living with me, is that people at a certain age are aware of their own physical process. They sense the changes and respond to them. We don't let things slip by as much as perhaps people did ages ago. And modern medicine has done wonders, I think, to prolong life. People are living longer.
I think long ago there weren't the options that we have, and so people had to take things as they came without any hope for a cure or palliation, making it feel better.
Well, Shakespeare was 53 when he died, and I think that was...
That
was old age. That was typical of his time.
About the turn of the century, here in the United States, the average lifespan was in the 40s.
Right, right.
So and 53 is old age in the 1600s.
Absolutely, and it's interesting because Shakespeare's son-in-law was a physician. And in Shakespeare's retirement, which lasted only two or three years, I mean, he left London and went back to Stratford, and he was gone in 3 years. His son-in-law cared for him and documented that care in a book that he wrote.
I would love to see that.
Time for another short break.
Down a long, dusty driveway, didn't want to go, but I said I had red tears in my eyes, wondering Daddy took me by the hand. Down at the school bus and his little man and said, don't worry, boy, it'll be alright. Cause I took this walk you're walking now, boy, I've been in your shoes. Well, you can't hold back the hands of time, it's just something you've got to do. So by your eyes I understand just what you're going through. Cause I took this same walk with my own man, boy, I've been in your shoes. Down a long dusty driveway, I set my mind to go. Well, I was 18 and wild and free. Daddy took me by the hand, doubted the world and it has grown mad and said, don't worry, boy, it'll be alright. Cause I took this walk you're walking now, boy, I've been in your shoes. Well, you can't hold back the hands of time, it's just something you have to do. Your eyes, I understand just what you're going through. Cause I took this same walk with my old man, boy, I've been in your shoes. Down a long dusty driveway, this time we both would go. Well, he had grown old and gray, was a wonderland. Daddy took me by the hand, said I know where we're going and I understand. Don't worry, boy, it'll be alright. Cause I took this walk you're walking now, boy, I've been in your shoes. Well, you can't hold back the hands of time, is just something you've got to do. Dry your eyes, I understand just what you're going through. Cause I took this same walk with my old man, boy, I've been in your shoes. Yes, I took this walk you're walking now, boy, I've been in your shoes.
Now, I have a few surprises
okay. That
you can or don't have to read if you don't want to.
All right.
Let's start with this one, and it's entitled The Golden Years.
Yeah.
And that's right here, and it's anonymous. We don't know who wrote it.
That's fun. That's funny.
I'd love to hear your rendition if you'd like to.
Whenever I'm happy to do it.
And it's okay to broadcast. I just want to make that clear.
No, it's fine. Yeah, let's do it. Sure. The golden years have come at last. I cannot see. I cannot pee. I cannot chew. Can't tie my shoe. My muscles lost their flex. Sure, can't have sex. My memory shrinks. My hearing stinks. No sense of smell. I look like hell. My body's drooping. Got trouble pooping. The golden years have come at last. The golden years. Ooh, what a blast.
And that's great. A heck of a lot better than I could have done, I'll tell you that. Well, that's for all time. And that'll go on the show, and on the web, and who knows, that might be your ticket to world fame, if you're not world famous already.
Well, I don't know about that.
This is my last surprise reading.
Okay.
And if you like these, I'll find more for you, and we'll get together some other
Sure, time. Absolutely.
Now, this is a newsflash, so you have to read it as a newsflash.
Okay. Seniors are the nation's leading carriers of AIDS. hearing aids, band-aids, roll aids, walking aids, medical aids, government aids, and most of all, monetary aids to their kids.
Dr. Elkin then turned the tables on me and asked me a question.
So, because so much of your life is taken up with dealing with old age and death, I suppose, what are your anxieties? Do you have anxiety?
Well, let me tell you, I'm hopeful in this sense that any of my patients that I've asked, are you afraid of dying? They've all said no. Just the fact that they say no in a truthful manner means to me that the fear of aging is a fear of youthful people.
Yeah.
And that as you get older, that fear dissipates.
I think that's true. I mean, I'm experiencing that. I mean, and I had, you know, the childish terrors that everybody has, and I have four children, and I've seen them experience these sort of nightmares and terrors about death. It does go away. It doesn't go completely away, but it dissipates.
This is Dr. Rob Stahl, live from WHLD, 1270 AM, here on July 5th, 4:30 PM. You heard a half hour of the show so far. I'd like you to call in. People have said at times that I talk in paragraphs, but I've tried to change that as I've gotten older, and I'd like to hear from you. I want to know what is important to you, what topics should be covered on this show, and what people I should go out and speak with. Please call in. I want to have your phone calls now, live on the air, 855-6848. I'm waiting for the phone calls to start ringing. I want to clarify something that I mentioned early on in talking with Dr. Elkin, and that's about the life expectancy at the turn of the century. Statistics on the AARP website note that for all people, in 1900, the average life expectancy at birth was 49 years old. In 1997, the date that's also listed on the website, this had increased to 76 years old. Now, it's interesting to note that there's a tremendous disparity at the turn of the century between people of different races. And perhaps we can discuss that at another time. But that disparity is rapidly closing. Now, the difference was 50%. 76 years now would be the life expectancy of a child at birth today. 1900, it was 49 years old. In 1900, someone who made it to age 50 was expected to live 21 more years. In 1997, someone who made it to age 50 was expected to live 30 more years to age 80. Someone who made it to 65 in 1900 had an expectation of 12 more years of life. In 1997, 18 more years of life, and so on. There's approximately 50% greater expectancy of duration of remaining life comparing now to 1900.
Doctor, we do have a caller on the line.
Okay, we'll take that call. This is Dr. Stahl.
Hello, Dr. Stahl.
Yes.
I would like some information pertaining to medication. If people are on Coumadin, what causes the welts that come on them, red welts and bloody noses?
Thank you very much. That's a very important question, and it's a very common thing for someone to be on Coumadin, which is the brand name for the drug Warfarin, W-A-R-F-A-R-I-N. That's an anticoagulant drug that's used mainly in two circumstances, or let me say three circumstances. One, atrial fibrillation, when the heart beats irregularly. That's always a tough word for me to pronounce. And when the heartbeat is not beating regular. I think that's a little easier way to say it. And also when you have a clot, usually in your leg. Those are the two most common circumstances when Coumadin is used. And in addition, with the advent of many people getting orthopedic surgery, it is often used after orthopedic surgery to prevent clots from developing in a patient's leg. Now, the welts that you described may very easily go along with
a side effect, or not even a side effect, the fact of the effect of the drug, if you bump yourself, your blood is less likely to clot immediately, and you might get a little bit of bleeding under your skin, and that resulting in a bruise. I just want to emphasize the importance of the use of Coumadin in someone who has atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation is a fairly common, irregular heartbeat, and there are all too many people, older people predominantly, that are not on Coumadin for atrial fibrillation. There might be contraindications in a particular case, and it's important to talk to your doctor about whether Coumadin or Warfarin, the generic name, is right for you. But the importance of the drug is that it greatly reduces your chance of having a stroke when you have atrial fibrillation.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I hope that helped.
Thank you.
Well, we talked about the life expectancy statistics. I just want to mention that I have in the studio today with me my wife, Robin, and my son, Dan. They're listening and watching and taking some photographs. Until we get another call, I want to go through what I call the geriatric clinical experience, something I do with students that come through the places I work, and I try to describe to them how to evaluate an older person and what are the key issues to look for. I have a sheet of paper that is entitled The Geriatric Clinical Experience, and there's approximately 15 to 20 terms that are listed. And my homework assignment to them is to take this form home and to talk to an older relative, mother, grandmother, grandfather, father, an older neighbor, older friend, and to go through this with them, to talk to them about these key concepts, these key issues in getting older. We talked about several of them. I mentioned advanced directives. I discussed with baseball dad Rob advanced directives, specifically the healthcare proxy. I also broached the issue of treating disease versus dis-ease, and very briefly, that alludes to treating diseases like depression, pain, loneliness, social isolation, psychosocial stressors. And a psychosocial stressor could be living alone, having difficulty getting around, having difficulty getting to the store just to get food. What does that lead to, perhaps? Malnutrition. The decision often has to be made, what do you spend your money on, food or medications? These can all add to what's called psychosocial stressors, but they're not diseases in the usual sense of the term. And when I went through medical school, I was never really taught what the word disease actually meant. And look at the word, and you see disease, and then you also can see dis-ease. Anything that causes a lack of ease, a lack of ability to function, a mood disturbance, or a general discomfort. And these are the things that a geriatrician focuses in on. We try to cure what can be cured, and there are things that can be cured or treated with specific medications or surgeries. But there are also things that just need to be made a little bit better so someone can go on with their life and have it be a little bit more enjoyable than it was before. Now, on this geriatric clinical experience sheet, which I'd be happy to provide to the audience, and there'll be information a little bit later about how to request information and contact me, on this sheet, I'll read through the terms, so you can keep them in mind because I'll be touching on these in the coming weeks and months on this show. Advanced directives. These are alphabetical as well. Advanced directives. ageism that I mentioned, prejudice towards older people, comments like, what should you expect at your age? You're not getting any younger. Has anyone ever said that to you? Have you ever said yourself, if you're an older adult, have you ever said, Doc, what do you expect at my age? You've learned to be prejudiced against yourself. There's atypical presentation of diseases that in a younger person might have sweating, crushing chest pain. I'm describing a heart attack. In an older person, a heart attack may have symptoms merely of fatigue, confusion, shortness of breath. Caregiving. The second major audience that I want to reach with this program are the caregivers out there. Change. The importance of watching for change and noting whether it's a short-term change, something that changed from one day to another or one week to another, and long-term change, change that's occurred from month to month or year to year. Communication. The importance of communication in older adults and the problems with communication in older adults. Sensory problems are a key issue that cause communication problems. Strokes can also cause communication problems. The generation gap can cause communication problems. The continuum of care. These are the widely available resources in this community and in every community in this country that can help you fill in the gaps of what you need to get the help you need to keep yourself happy and healthy. Disease versus disease, I just mentioned. Functional ability. How do you function? If you come to my office and tell me that you can't get up the stairs, that you can't reach in your cupboard, and I examine you, and I find you have a heart murmur, that you have liver problems through blood tests, and I work those up, and I tell you, well, that's the best that can be done. You're on the right medications. And if I forget that you're having trouble reaching up into your cupboard and that you're not able to get up the stairs, I'm not doing my job for you. I'm not really helping you the way I should and the way I can. Functional assessment. In geriatric medicine, it's important to be able to assess function, and there are many specific assessment tools, we call them. There are, and it's like carrying around a toolbox of different things that I've learned and that doctors learn during their training on how to assess function, and through that, being able to identify where a person can best go to get help. Functional reserve. This is a concept that older people don't get sick just because they're old. They have a lower functional reserve. If they have an insult to their body, an infection, a pneumonia, it takes less for that pneumonia to bring them down than it does a younger person. It doesn't mean that their natural state is to be weak or short of breath. It means that it takes less to make them sick. Multiple problems. This is something I often deal with in my practice. Multiple problems is the list that patients bring in. They've accumulated different diagnoses. They've accumulated medications that indicate
requests for information, and your questions, comments, or suggestions may be sent to what should you
the list of medications that indicate specific problems. And how do I deal with that? How does a doctor deal with a list that's 10 items or 15 items long? Well, one thing I do is to grab the list as fast as possible from my patient. And often the patient's very reluctant to give me that list. They say, no, doctor, let me hold on to it. And I say, no, it would make it easier if I take a look at the list. And you know what the most common reason people don't let me look at the list?
They think I can't read their handwriting.
Pain. We'll probably dedicate several sessions to the issue of pain and how it can be managed. Something as simple as taking Tylenol on a regular basis if you have arthritic pain every day. Why wait till you have pain to take your Tylenol, which you end up taking 3 or 4 times a day anyway? Why don't you take it before you tend to have the pain? Take it in the morning when you get up so you get a good start to the day. Take it in the evening before you go to bed so you get a good night's sleep. Palliative care. This is a type of care that's the bridge between geriatric care and hospice care, in a sense. But palliative care is taking care of problems and making them a little bit less of a problem. Palliate, to make better. Polypharmacy. Now, here's a big one, and this is clearly one of my pet peeves, is, as I mentioned before, the misuse and abuse of medications. People are often treated because of specific symptoms. They accumulate drugs because they have symptoms. And the drugs themselves can cause symptoms, the side effects of the drugs. And then they're treated for those symptoms with more drugs. It takes a while to sit down and sort out that pile of medication, that big bag of medications, and it's not just prescription medications, it's over-the-counter medications, it's herbal remedies, it's other culturally based cures that people use. These are all things that I want to hear about, that all doctors should want to hear about, and have their patients bring in the whole pile of stuff that they're using and sort it out and see what helps and see what's making matters worse. And finally, quality of life. And these are all the items, once again, on the geriatric clinical experience sheet. Quality of life. Is someone enjoying their life? That's the bottom line. I use what I've termed the STALL quality of life assessment. And it's very simple. On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is the pits, or terrible, and 10 is great, how would you rate your life today? This is what I ask my patients. I ask them when they first come in, and just about at each appointment. And by assessing where they are in their answer to that very simple question, it tells me what I need to do. My follow-up to the question, or to their answer, if they answer, I'm about 6 today, my answer would be, how can I help you be a 7 or an 8? Some answer, I'm a 10. I ask, how can I help you to be an 11? Some say I'm minus 3. How can I help you get to 0? I'd like to have your calls. Once again, it's 855-6848. I know it's the first show, and as people get used to maybe hearing my voice and hearing about the topics that are being discussed, I'll get some calls, and I want to talk to you. I want to hear firsthand what your issues are. I don't want to go on and preach and discuss things that really aren't what people want and need to hear. Let me shuffle through my papers. I always wanted to do this, a la Rush Limbaugh and Larry King and all the rest. I have other resources that you might want to contact me about that I've sent actually all over the world. There's a wonderful caregiver's handbook that was put together by the Caregiver Education and Support Services of the San Diego County Mental Health. This was many years ago. I formatted it for the web. It's available on the web. And I have paper copies as well, and I've sent this to nuns in Singapore that were working with older people. I've sent these to daughters and sons of older adults. I've sent them to spouses of older adults, and I'm sure it's been of great help to them. And just to give you an idea of what this caregiver handbook deals with, the topic headings are credits and permissions, of course, introduction, caring for the caregiver, personal care, nutrition, medical aspects of caregiving, emotional and intellectual well-being, legal and financial affairs, and then several appendices, one about examples of caregiver resources and additional reading. Well, we're coming to the top of the hour, and I think I'm going to finish up here, and we'll run the final announcements and a little closing music. And I'll see you next week. I hope you call. I hope we can fill an hour with phone calls. I allocated 15 to 20 minutes today for phone calls, but you heard me talk in paragraphs, which I hope not to do next time. I actually enjoy listening. And by the way, did you know what the length of time the average doctor listens when he or she first sees a patient? This was a study done many years ago. It probably has changed now. I would hope it has changed. 20 seconds. 20 seconds is how long a doctor used to listen, hopefully used to listen, before he cut off his patient and started asking questions. I think we need to ask the open-ended question, what can I do for you, and just sit back and take it all in. I'll see you next week. It's been a pleasure. I've had a great time, and I hope you got something out of this.
Requests for information and your questions, comments, or suggestions may be sent to What Should You Expect at Your Age, care of WHLD, 1270 AM, 225 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, New York, 14202. You may also email me at drstall@whatshouldyouexpect.com. That's Dr. Stahl at whatshouldyouexpect.com. Please write the station or email me if you would like copies of the official New York State Healthcare Proxy Form or a wallet card of the 9 expectations I discussed earlier in the program. I would like to thank my guests, Dr. Elkin, Baseball Dad Rob, and, of course, Miss Eshelman, for being on the program today. Thanks also to the Beatles, Cat Stevens, and Sawyer Brown for composing and performing the wonderful music I played on today's show. And I'd like to thank WHLD 1270 AM for making the airtime affordable and for being so accommodating in getting this show off the ground. I would like to end today's program with a little dinner music. Miss Dorothy Eshelman, 96 years young. I'm Dr. Rob Stahl. See you next week.
my head. Many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? By the fireside, Sunday mornings go for a ride, doing a garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight, if it's not too dear. We shall scrimp. A postcard, drop me a line, stating point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer, fill in a form, mine forevermore. Or will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 16?